follow at 9, and then our regular service with communion will be on at 10:30. I got a text from Kay Nelson this week. Kay is Alice Kinchy's daughter, and they are working to arrange for her to come back home and have hospice there. She asked me if there are people in our community who would be willing to spend about 2 hours each day with Alice. It might be at lunchtime, so it might be preparing a lunch for the two of you, or it might be they may make arrangements to have meals delivered to her. I don't know. I don't have the specifics on that. But if you would be willing to be one of those people who would sit with Alice for a couple hours each day, please let Joanne. Thank you. I haven't met you, have I? Joanne Budd, no. Okay. Are there other announcements that, and the other thing is the committee who's going to be planning the Easter breakfast is going to meet immediately following worship today. All right. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Its master needs it, and he will send it back right away.' They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around them said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, 'Hosanna, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12.
I invite you to turn to face the light of Christ as it comes into our midst. It is this turning or reorienting ourselves towards the holy that is the essence of our season of Lent. What we pay attention to is what we are formed by. So let us continue this season of listening, of hearing that still, small voice and finding our own true selves. Please join me in singing Come and Rest. The music is on the insert of your bulletin. Jesus' prayer life was described most often in the scriptures as something he did away from the crowds or disciples. As we come to the last week of this Lenten journey, we have experienced the blessings of turning away from the noise of the world in order to turn inward, to hear that still, small voice of God, and finding our own voice of wisdom there as well. This Sunday begins the story of the end of Jesus' human life. And the scripture contains one of the rare examples of how Jesus prayed. It was honest, it was gut-wrenching, and it finally was a letting go of expectations about life and turn towards the acceptance that gives us courage to move onward. In the midst of the bustle of Jerusalem at Passover comes a parade into the city, not filled with grandeur and might, but one that has reverberated through the ages. It continues to call us as a church to join with psalms of praise and protest. Let us stand and greet the parade of Jesus that proclaims a kingdom, a realm of justice and peace. Oh, excuse me. Okay, you are invited to sit quietly in the silence without any expectations of what you ought to be thinking. Don't worry about sounds from children or colds. Simply let them float into and out of your attention. And if you find it difficult to settle your thoughts, contemplate the following. Listen to the beating of your heart. It will tell you what makes you fully alive. Please join me in prayer. The responses are in your bulletin. For that which then I thought was right, have mercy, God. For that which now I regret, for that which hence I know not what to do, come and rest, come and listen. Know that grace, forgiveness, and guidance are available to you at each and every moment that we turn to receive them.
Thanks be to God.
Come and rest, come and listen.
May the fullness of your lives be for the Maker.
Come and rest, come and in the midst of the bustle of Jerusalem at Passover comes a parade into the city, not filled with grandeur and might, but one that has reverberated through the ages. It continues to call us as a church to join with psalms of praise and protest. Let us stand and greet the parade of Jesus that proclaims a kingdom, a realm of justice and peace. Please join in singing our opening hymn, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, number 277 in the red hymnal. Please join me in Psalms 4, verses 1 and 6 through 8. The responses are in your bulletin. Answer me when I cry out, my righteous God. Set me free from my troubles.
Have mercy on me. Listen to my prayer.
Many people say we can't find goodness anywhere.
The light of your face has left us.
Please join in singing, Listen. The words are printed in your bulletin. But you have filled my heart with more joy than when their wheat and wine are everywhere. I will lie down and fall asleep in peace.
They came into Jerusalem. After entering the temple, he threw out those who were selling and buying there. He pushed over the tables used for currency exchange and the chairs of those who sold doves. He didn't allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He taught them, "Hasn't it been written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you turned it into a hideout for crooks?" The chief priests and the legal experts heard this and tried to find a way to destroy him. They regarded him as dangerous because the whole crowd was enthralled at his teaching. It was 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the legal experts, through cunning tricks, were searching for a way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But they agreed that it shouldn't happen during the festival, otherwise there would be an uproar among the people. Will you join with singing me to the tune, "Were You There?" Number 288, "Were You There When They Planned Their Cunning Tricks?"
Jesus was at Bethany visiting the house of Simon, who had a skin disease. During dinner, a woman came in with a vase made of alabaster and containing very expensive perfume of pure nard. She broke open the vase and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Some grew angry. They said to each other, "Why waste the perfume? This perfume could have sold for almost a year's pay and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. You always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do something good for them. But you won't always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body ahead of time for burial. I tell you the truth, that wherever in the whole world the good news is announced, what she's done will also be told in memory of her." Were you there when he welcomed in the poor? Please sing those lyrics as printed in your bulletin.
Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to give Jesus up to them. When they heard it, they were delighted and promised to give him money. So he started looking for an opportunity to turn him in. Will you join in singing the words in the bulletin, "Were you there when they bought him for some coins?"
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, the disciples said to Jesus, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover meal?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city. A man carrying a water jar will meet you. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Prepare for us there." The disciples left, came into the city, found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. That evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. During the meal, Jesus said, "I assure you that one of you will betray me, someone eating with me." Deeply saddened, they asked him one by one, "It's not me, is it?" Jesus answered, "It's one of the 12, one who is dipping bread with me into this bowl. The human one goes to his death just as it is written about him. But how terrible it is for that person who betrays the human one. It would have been better for him if he had never been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." He took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. I assure you, I won't drink wine again until that day when I drink it in a new way in God's kingdom." After singing songs of praise, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Were you there when they shared the meal with him? Please join in singing words in your bulletin.
Jesus said to them, "You will all falter in your faithfulness to me. It is written, 'I will hit the shepherd, and the sheep will go off in all directions.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else stumbles, I won't." But Jesus said to him, "I assure you that on this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter insisted, "If I must die alongside you, I won't deny you." And they all said the same thing. Sing with me the words. Were you there when they swore to faithful be?
Were you there when they swore to faithful be?
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink of it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Were you there when he suffered grief and pain? Please sing along with the words in your bulletin.
As we've been moving through these weeks of Lent, each week we're invited to listen to what it is that God is speaking to us. And the focus has been on us as individuals. We do also need to ask that question as a congregation. But the focus has been on each one of us becoming quiet and listening to what it is that God has to say to us and what it is that is our purpose in this life. Would you hit the chimes above you? Straight above. As we are quiet and as we listen, there are some things that resonate with us more than others, like the chimes resonate when the wood piece hits them. I believe that when God called me to ministry, I answered one of God's purposes for my life, one of the things that I was supposed to do. And I believe that when I married and when I had my children, I fulfilled another purpose that God had for my life. Well, now those children are grown up, and I'm not too far away from retirement. I need to ask myself again, what is the purpose in my life? And people say, oh, once a pastor, always a pastor. People say, oh, once a farmer, always a farmer. Once a dental hygienist, always a dental hygienist. I don't know. We've got these the ways that we fulfill our purpose. And very often that is our jobs. Very often that is our families. They help us to fulfill the purpose to which we have been called by God. Perhaps grandchildren. And supporting your children, raising them, is another purpose that I don't have yet, but someday maybe. Jesus would go by himself to a quiet place, and it was there that he was searching for God's purpose for his life. Now, some would say that Jesus always knew. Others would say that Jesus grew into an understanding of what God's will was for his life. As we watch him through the Gospels, we see that it becomes clearer and clearer that he needs to return, go to Jerusalem. And he would face what needed to be faced there in Jerusalem. Today we've moved from the celebration of the palms. I'm not sure that it happens exactly this way, but some have suggested that Sunday was the day that he did ride into Jerusalem on the donkey, and people were celebrating. And it was Monday then that he went to the temple and cast out the money changers, the people who were taking advantage of the pilgrims who were coming to Jerusalem as the law required them to do. And on Tuesday, it was that the chief priests and the teachers began to really harass him and really made plans for his disposal. And Wednesday it was that one of the friends that had traveled with him for 3 years betrayed him. And we know that Thursday is the day that they celebrated the Passover. This is Holy Week. Holy Week because it was in the home, the home city of the Jewish people that Jesus went. And there it was that something specific was happening every day. And the people who were living at that time couldn't see that there was a step each day. Something was taking Jesus closer to the cross. But we can look at it and we can see that he was moving closer day by day, conversation by conversation, confrontation by confrontation. And we ended the reading today with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And although he had been by himself praying to God, being one with God so many times, it was this one that Jesus shows us that he is just as fully human as he was fully God. In his prayer, it was the human Jesus who was saying, "Father, take this cup from me. Are you sure that this is what I need to do?" He knew what was coming. And the human him, human Jesus, understood the pain that he was going to experience. And yet in his time alone with God, all of those times that he had prayed and been at one with God, he came to the conclusion that he needed to continue to be faithful. "Please take this cup from me. If not," and that "if" is one of those ifs that says, "I know this is the way it has to be. Not my will, but your will." It's in the quiet times, in our time alone with God, that we come to recognize our purpose. We come to recognize our reason for being. And it's one of the things that I've been thinking about through these weeks, just because retirement is over the hill. That doesn't mean I'm over the hill. Retirement is over the hill. What will my purpose be then? What will my reason for being? How will I answer that? And I'm not talking about myself. I'm just using me as an example. How do you ask that question? And how do you answer that question? What is your reason for being when you have life changes? Most of us don't find the answer by asking it once. And that's why this has been a searching, a seeking during these weeks of Lent. I don't believe that any of us, or I strongly suspect that none of us, are called to offer our lives in the name of our faith. But there are people in the world who do that. It seems very unlikely that any of us are. But we are being asked to offer our souls, our spirit, for the faith that we proclaim, the faith that we live. This is the beginning of Holy Week. I invite you, as I have other weeks, to come in. Use one of these places to pray or find your own place to be quiet. If you know your purpose at this point in your life, praise God. If when you are in quiet, your heart is kind of not settled, listen to what it is that God is speaking to you. I've often said to people when I visit them in the nursing home, or when I do the services at the nursing homes, that you are breathing means that God has a purpose for your life yet. That you are breathing means that you are to continue serving God in the place that you are. This may be more challenging for people who have more time on their hands than those who are busy. We need the quiet so that we can hear that still small voice and what it is saying to us and what it is asking of us. And may we be faithful. Amen. Our musician for this morning is one among you, one among the many people who whose voices are not real strong. So we're not going to have special music unless someone is prepared to sing "The Holy City." Okay, it would be wonderful if someone raised their hand and said, "I can do it." Holly's talking to Scott. Maybe we'll... No, you're not going to do it, Scott? Oh, okay. Not this Sunday. Okay. All right. For God's goodness and God's gifts, we offer our lives and ourselves. I invite the ushers to come as we give our tithes and offerings. Let us pray together. Holy God, we give thanks for your saving love made known to us in the life,
death, and resurrection of Christ. Bless these gifts that they may bring life on earth as in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's join together. Names on a small piece of paper, and I can't find it right now, so help me out if I forget. We want to keep Bob Barr in our prayers. He was diagnosed with pneumonia this week and is recovering at home. Harry Mann, who is a member at the UCC Church, he and Janet Alm are our companions. Harry fell last Saturday and broke his hip, and he is right now in at Lodi. He wants to come to Maplewood, but there's no one can get in there right now because of flu. And so Janet also is not going to be able to stay at home. So she was talking with people at Maplewood Village this week about the possibilities of her moving to Maplewood Village. I mentioned Alice. I can't hear you. Alice Kinchy. Oh, thank you. Okay. She is continues to be at a Grace in Fitchburg. We want to keep in our prayers Jean Miller. She is a sister to Marilyn Blackman. She fell and broke a hip this week, and she's complicating for her is that she also has Parkinson's. So we want to keep all of those folks in our prayers. Let us quiet ourselves. As we sing. Let us lift up our hearts in thanks, O God. And we pray for the cares of your world. As Jesus showed us the power of loving service, guide the hearts and souls of those who have positions of power, that they would make decisions that give rise to health and wholeness and fullness for all in this world that you love so much. In the violence of every day, O God, raise us to a new and rightly ordered world through the reconciling love of Jesus. Enlighten us to care for your creation and help us to live in ways that heal that which we have broken. Gracious God, we pray for those who are distressed and broken and sorrowful, those who are grieving, those who need your healing spirit, body, mind, and soul. We named them this morning. We remember before you those who have died and those who are grieving the passing of loved ones. Enfold them in your mercy. Gracious God, during these weeks we have come seeking clarity about the best way for each one of us to move forward. As we walk through this week, we are reminded that the road is not always easy, but we do remember that you are always present with us. So we thank you. Thank you, God. And we join in prayer with all those offered during this time. We pray as Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And now as you move on into the world, hold that which is happening inside of you and outside of you. Love whatever comes across your path for what it will teach you. Cherish the struggle that stirs in your gut for how it will guide you. And know that all people carry within them the essence of the divine, the image of God, which is given to us at birth. Listen for God's voice every day until we meet again. Get quiet enough to hear that still small voice and to find your own. And may the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer be with you all, always. And all God's people say, Amen. Would you turn to hymn number 2111 in the black hymnal? We sang our glad hosannas. We stand.
We sang our glad hosannas and waved our branches high, but some were silent, frowning, as Jesus rode on by. They sought a royal Savior, but did not understand. A king could rule by loving instead of by command. We heard an angry Jesus in temple
would turn toward one another and sing Shalom to each other. We'll start with the right side first this morning, and then you will answer, and then greet one another in the with the peace of Christ as you leave.